COP26 has given us many lessons on how urgent governments need to tackle climate change. Two of the options discussed at the COP26 were the rules about carbon trading and developed countries supporting developing countries to reduce emissions. The Wire's Demetra Allen investigated.
Carbon trading is a scheme which caps greenhouse gas emissions and allows organisations to trade carbon units on the market. International carbon trading issues such as oversupply, reports of corruption and abuse, and a lack of accounting rules have impinged carbon trading success over the years. Head of Climate and Security Policy Centre at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, Dr. Robert Glasser, says the IPCC report findings feed into COP meetings.
The IPCC, to start with that, is essentially a structure that was set up by the member states of the UN that was designed to bring together the best climate science available and to update the global community on the state of our knowledge on climate change. So the IPCC conducts these assessments every few years and special reports as well that they release that basically brings together the best scientists around the world, the best climate scientists. So these reports are issued regularly, and they then feed into the negotiation that countries engage in, including the one that was just held in Glasgow.
One way governments are trying to reduce greenhouse gas emissions is through carbon trading with economic incentives. The recent COP26 in Glasgow created transparency for global carbon trading in Article 6 under the Paris Agreement. These rules allowed for the fossil fuel industry to offset its carbon emissions and carry on polluting, combined with phasing down of coal.
The rule book, first of all, the rules of the Paris Agreement was a key accomplishment at this meeting. Again, it sounds really bureaucratic. But if every country is reporting in different ways about what they're doing to reduce greenhouse gases, we really are comparing apples and oranges. And so we're not getting an accurate picture of the overall effort. It's too complex. And also opportunities for countries to hide what they're doing and to manipulate that outcome. So agreeing these rules about how countries are going to announce the methodologies they use in achieving their reductions is really key, and the transparency of the process to build confidence that actually what we're seeing happening at these climate green COPs is making a difference in terms of reducing greenhouse gases.
Dr. Glasser says there are problems with carbon trading.
There are a couple of problems with that. One is, does that mean both countries, the one who's paying for it and the one who's closing the factory, count the reduction in their national reductions register? And of course, that wouldn't be fair because it would be double counting. I'm just using this as a very simplistic example, but so part of the rules that were outlined at that Glasgow meeting was clarifying how to manage that so we don't have double counting. There are other problems with buying carbon credits. Countries that are doing that predominantly are really making a serious effort to reduce greenhouse gases in their own countries, as opposed to simply buying credits. But we do this when we fly on Qantas all the time. You know, you have given an option to sequester your carbon from your flight if you want to be more green in how you do things. And if I do that, I'm still flying, I'm still burning greenhouse gases.
But carbon trading is working for developed countries, even though they continue to pollute. Developed countries have the capacity to invest in less carbon activities and technology, unlike the rest of the world. Developed countries helping others to mitigate climate change is specified on Article 9 of the Paris Agreement.
In the Paris Agreement, this fundamental climate change agreement, one of the conditions less developed countries put on the table to secure their agreement to this Paris Climate Agreement was that they wanted help from the rich countries to help them transition away from fossil fuels and also to adapt to the disasters, to the hazards climate change is increasing. And they felt that that was a responsibility of rich countries to help them because it's the rich countries predominantly that have released most of these greenhouse gases over the last decades. Poor countries have had a really small impact on greenhouse gases, but they are suffering some of the biggest impacts. they're suffering some of the biggest impacts.
Dr. Glazer says impacts from climate change is a national security issue for Australia.
Indonesia, for example, 275 million people, just a few hundred kilometres from our northern border, is extremely exposed to the hazards climate change is increasing. Heat, storms, amplified El Niño, La Niña events, and the combination of those factors is, I am fairly certain, will create huge pressures, including food insecurity.
That was head of the Climate and Security Policy Centre at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, Dr. Robert Glasser, speaking with The Wire's Demetra Allen.